Heads just for a quick minute. Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we love you because there's none like you and there's nothing too hard for you. You are the true and living God, Lord, and so we ask that you would speak to us through your word as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen, broken world. We need the light of your word to illuminate the way. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we do and we recognize that we do need you more today than we did yesterday. We need you today more than ever. We need to trust you more than ever. Submit and surrender to you like never before. We don't have a day to waste. We don't have a moment to waste. Let us live on purpose, on godly purpose, Lord. Speak to us through your words. Holy Spirit, continue to lead, guide, and direct us. Thank you for being with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles. We're in Revelations 22. We're on a message, a theme, a series. Is God enough? Is God enough? Or do we need something else? If you notice in your bulletins today, you have a flyer for friends and family. Please share that with your friends and family, which is next Sunday.
Yes.
Then you have a flyer on our food outreach, which is Monday from 2 to 3. And I would even ask that you would share that when you're leaving the community today, share it with a neighbor and let them know that there's food that God's providing through the church. Amen?
Amen.
So share that with somebody. And those of you that can come out, please come out and be a part of it. We need your help. It's a lot of food. It's a lot of work. If you can only just come and help for a few minutes to set up or to break down or to serve, please come. We need your help.
Amen.
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 Did I say we need your help? Did I say that already?
Yes.
It is a lot of work.
Yes.
We need your help.
Yes.
Amen. And then tell anyone you know who could use some food to come on out and be blessed. So since we're on the series, we always start off with the questions, the icebreaker. How many have not eaten yet today? Amen. I'm hoping you're taking advantage of the praying and fasting time, especially during worship and during prayer. And you're calling on the power of God because some things only come but by praying and fasting. Based on Mark 9:29, and that's what Jesus told his disciples. You don't need to raise your hands now. How many of you had a chance to read one of our three worship scriptures? 1 Chronicles 29:10-15, 5:11-, Revelations 5:11-14, and Revelation 7:9-12. Don't raise your hand. How many of you made time to read at least one proverb this week? Don't raise your hand. I wonder. Okay. We read the Proverbs. The Proverbs have replaced here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. They've replaced the horoscope and the fortune cookies. I don't know about the Super Lotto because I think I saw some of y'all at the stores last week trying to get that $700 million. So I don't know if we got there yet, but we're on our way. We're trusting God, not the Super Lotto. Somebody say amen. Revelations 22:6. We'll start there, then we will continue. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. Underline faithful and true if you haven't already. The word of God can be trusted and it's real. The word of God can be trusted and it's real. Now, do we believe that? Here is the... It's two things, two dynamics we've been talking about all year. Do we believe what we read, and is God enough? So if the word of God can be trusted and is real, as opposed to everything else, or not everything else, but the other things that are counterfeit and unreliable, then it should change the way that we live. So God's word is trusted and God is real. Make a note that anytime you're trying to find out what's real and what's make-believe, you have to go to the foundation. Any religion, whatever religion it is, and we know that Christianity is a relationship, it's not a religion. Religion is trying to reach God. Christianity was God coming down, reaching out to man. So Christianity is a relationship, but other religions and even Christianity, you have to find out what was the foundation, who was the founder. Religion is invalid based on the followers, because you got idiots following a lot of stuff. Idiots with names and titles and supposedly worldly prestige will follow anything. But a religion is only valid based upon its founder. Who founded it? How did it start? So don't get caught up in the followers. Go right to the foundation and say, who is the founder? And so we know that Christianity is a relationship. So make it a real relationship. R-E-A-L, relationship. Okay. A real relationship. We got a new word this morning. Yes. Can be trusted. It is true. He said unto me, these things are can be trusted and are real. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel or his messenger to show unto his servants, his slaves, the things which must shortly take place. So here we are. And I know that sometimes it has a negative connotation and servant, but in the translation in the Greek, the servant is a slave. And we've already established that we don't frown your face at me. That's what the word says. You got to understand that we are a servant or a slave to something. So unfrown your face. You have people that are in bondage to sports and teams and logos and companies and corporations, selling their soul out for them. I remember growing up in Los Angeles in the 80s. And we talk about what controls you. God bless you. And here we go with this air conditioner again. All right. It gets too cold when it's freezing. Is it freezing yet? Do we need to cut it off? It's not freezing yet. Somebody just raise your hand and let me know when it's freezing and we'll cut it off. All right. I remember growing up graduated high school. Is time up? Is a train coming through? The midnight train? Anyway, the love train, Kathy? But growing up in the 80s, and then this thing came into the neighborhood, this phenomenon called crack cocaine came in the neighborhood. And so all of a sudden, you had people becoming enslaved to this drug. So I'm stealing from their mama and their parents and their friends and their job. I saw people losing their house because this drug had enslaved them. Selling their bodies to a $5 piece of crack. And so now all of a sudden when it's flipped and God says, I want you to be a slave to me, now we have a problem with the word. But when we were serving everything else, it was all good. When we was slave to men and women and our own lusts, and some of us both, it didn't even matter. Now all of a sudden God says, I want you to be my slave. You got a problem with it. We got a problem with it. But remember, you're going to be a slave to something. And then here is God who died for our sins, who bought us with a price, his blood, his life, and we got a problem being called a slave of Christ. That's why Paul tells us, Jay, put up Romans 12 and 2 really quickly. No, 12, 1 and 2, if you can. Romans 12 and 1. That's why Paul says we got to renew our minds. We got to start thinking like God thinks. We need to start serving God. We need to start being in bondage to God, loving what God loves and hating what God hates. Paul said, I'm begging you, brethren, children of God, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is the least you can do because of everything that God has done for you. And now, it's the least we can do is to live right. To be a slave to Christ, it's the least we could do is to sell out to God now because we sold out to so many other things. It's the least we could do. And some of us, we don't have to think back that far. But if you want to think back a little bit further, it's the least you can do. It's the least you and I could do. And then here he goes. Next scripture, Jay. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be ye transformed by the renovating of your mind, a complete home makeover of your mind. Get the mind of Christ. It's okay to serve Christ with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, regardless of how old you are. Become a slave to Christ today. And so that you can test what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And until you put God to the test, you'll never know what God can do with your life. Until you renew your mind, your mind is transformed, then you cannot test God. If your mind is not transformed, you can never put God to the test and find out what is God's good and acceptable and perfect, complete will for your life. Not if your mind's not right. It doesn't happen. All right, JL, little mama. I was going to almost call you little mama. JL, back to Revelation 22:6. He said unto me, these things are faithful and true. The Lord of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I come quickly. This is God saying he comes quickly. Remember, God and Christ is outside of time. It seems like it's a long time, but he said, I'm coming quickly. Some of us say he can't come quick enough. Amen. I remember when I was growing up in a church. Well, actually, I was in college in a church. The first church I attended happened when I was in college with Dr. Billy Ingram, Maranatha Community Church. And he would say he would hope the Lord would come quickly. He said, I got a little bit of debt going on, got so much debt, hoping the Lord can come quickly and let the devil pay the bills. Take me out of here and let the devil pay the bills. I'm out. But we're saying the Lord can't come quick enough, especially as we look at our world today. But he says, blessed is he that keepeth his sayings. So make a note that the blessing is in the obedience. Your blessing comes from your obedience. And that word blessed being translated as happiness. There is happiness in obedience. You always feel better when you walk away from sin as opposed to partaking in it. And this is specifically for Christians. If you're not a Christian and you're just doing your thing, then that doesn't, you don't know what, anyway, whatever you're doing. But for those of us that are blood-bought and we're living right and we know that the blessing is in obedience, when we walk away from something that we could have gotten into, we always feel better. It's a happy moment. That's a blessed moment. And it's not saying that if you're happy, you're godly. That's what it's not saying. Don't make that mistake. That all happy people are godly people. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that the blessing is in the obedience and you always feel better when you walk away from an opportunity to commit sin. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings and the prophecy of this book. That's why it's important to be a part of a good Bible teaching and a Bible believing church. Very important. Make a note of it. It's important for us to read and meditate on God's word. So God can speak to our heart and lead and guide us. We should do that daily. Do not take a day off from reading God's word. That's why we have our worship scriptures. That's why we have our proverbs that we read daily. God, what are you speaking to my heart today? Verse 8, and I, John, saw these things. John, he observed and he heard them. He observed and he discerned them. And when I had heard and when I discerned and observed, I fell down to worship the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Make a notice, a few dynamics going on here. First note and dynamic, we're all looking for something to worship. Because we were created to worship, we're looking for something to worship. Everybody worships something. We've been talking about this. God speaks daily. I hope you didn't miss what he was speaking to your heart and mind this week. So here's John looking for something to worship. So he fell down before the feet of the angel, which showed him these things. He said unto me, don't do it. He says, for I am thy fellow servant and the brethren of the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Make a note that angels have a choice, too. He said he's a fellow servant. He said he's a brother of the prophets. Angels have a choice, too, whether they're going to worship God or not. And we know that because when Satan, who was an angel of light, when he got kicked out, he took a third of the angels' heavenly hosts with him. So you had angels who chose to follow Satan, and you have angels who chose to worship God. Even the angels have free will. And that's why you and I have free will. God did not create robots. We all were created to worship. You're going to worship something. Something. Choose to worship God. Amen. You hear people talking about, well, I have a guardian angel. I love my guardian angel. Oh, the angel will tell you, he's telling you right here, don't worship me, worship God. Don't get enamored with stuff and the creation. Worship the creator only. Worship God. Amen. Angels serve God too, and they choose to worship God. Yes. God is not going to force anyone to worship him. Just worship God only. And as I was studying this, it just shows the magnitude of the spiritual warfare. Now, you have angels whose job is to distract us from serving God. That's why it's so intense. That's why we battle daily. That's why the word tells us to put on the armor of God daily, because there's an angel out there transformed into a demon trying to separate you from serving God, because they know where they end up and they're trying to get you to end up there with them. That's why spiritual warfare is so intense. They have chosen to follow Satan and chosen to distract you and I from the purpose of God and seeing how much God loves us and how much God cares for us. Bless you. Because they came from heaven. They know what God has prepared for us. And since they rebelled, they know what God has prepared for them. That's why spiritual warfare is so intense. That's why we're fighting for our lives literally daily. That's why we're not going to catch a break. Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. The angels have a choice. And this one says, worship God. Let's go to Revelation 7 and 9. I was studying that and it just took me back to worshiping again. You all know as I'm studying, I'm all over the place. And here's one of the worship scriptures, but I'm going to read quite a bit more of it today. That's a Revelation 7 and 9. So John says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. You should already have it underlined, of all nations and kindreds, tribes and people and languages stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palm branches in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Let me go back to verse 9. I don't want to go past that too fast. I want to highlight it again. There is some of everybody in heaven. And I beheld, and there was a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations. Somebody say amen. Amen. So got a lot of foolishness going on in our world today. And this shows right here, God is not a racist. And if you're representing a racist organization trying to say God is with you, you're a lie. And it's not the word of God. Because God said, we're going to be in heaven and some of everybody going to be there. And we all going to be worshiping together. Watch out for anything that's exclusive. And you can only look like this or talk like this or act like this to be a part of it. It's not godly, because God say everybody going to be with me. And don't get out there fighting the wrong cause. Because we're not all children of God. We're all created by God, but everybody's not a child of God. And God is not about unity. God is about division. God said he's going to separate the wheat from the tare, the sheep from the goats. Everybody's not a sheep. There are some goats out there. I think it's in the book of Habakkuk. I could be wrong, but it says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Don't just start lining yourself with anything that's out there for some stupid cause. It's a lot of deception going on in the world today. God said, everybody's going to be with me. And if we're not out fighting for somebody's soul, that the soul is a part of you that does not dissolve upon death. If we're not out there fighting for somebody's soul to be saved, then we need to really evaluate, what are we doing? I almost struggle with that daily. You all know I teach at the college level and I'm in the schools and stuff. And I'm in here teaching motivation and inspiration. But these kids need to be saved. They need to be saved. I need to say, so y'all need to come to Jesus Christ right now. And so I struggle with that, because I'm motivating kids, but I'm not talking about the part that doesn't dissolve upon death. I'm like, God, how do we change this? I struggle with that. I go to work and I struggle with that. I need to talk to someone about getting their soul saved. Because God says only those whose name is written in the Lamb's book of life is going to enter into heaven with him. You do not need to be out there with some sign talking about unity and peace and tolerance and all that other kind of foolishness. You need to be talking about get saved right now, come to Jesus before you die and go to hell. Maybe not in those words, but that's what you need to be saying. And so Jesus says everyone's going to be there. We're going to be worshiping together. It's going to look similar to what it looks like in here. And I love it. But is God enough? Do I trust what the word says? Here we go. Verse 11. And all the angels stood around the throne. It's a choice. These are the ones that chose to worship God. Stood around about the throne and about the elders and four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. You're going to worship something. I already told you, you're going to worship something. You are worshiping something right now. Look what they said, saying amen. Verse 12, saying, so be it. That's what amen means. So be it. They're all worshiping God and saying, this is what we do. I'm cool with that. So be it. This is how we're going to roll for eternity. If you have a problem worshiping God now, you might have a problem worshiping God for eternity in heaven, because they're at the throne saying, hey, this is what we do. So be it. Amen. This is what they say. Amen. We're doing this. And see, we should be worshiping all throughout the day, night and day. But there is just going to be day and day and more day, because there's no night there. And if you're having trouble worshiping God now, you got to evaluate, what am I worshiping? What is taking God's place? And worship is a lifestyle. Just like it says, pray without ceasing. It's an attitude. I'm always in prayer for someone. Worship is an attitude. I'm always worshiping God. I go through my day thanking God, being grateful to God, acknowledging who God is, seeing God in every situation, worshiping God. Let nothing take the place of God. Not worries, not stress, not confusion, not trouble, not success, not failure, not money, not anything. I'm always going through, thank you, Lord. Worshiping God. That's an attitude of worship. It's an attitude of prayer. Worship without ceasing, pray without ceasing. Practice thanking God every day. So they say, what do they say? So be it. This is how we do it. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever, ever. Amen. If you don't know what to say, start there. This is one of our worship scriptures right here. Revelation 7 and 12. What do you say? How do I tell God how I feel about him? There you go. Saying, so be it. Blessings. Thank you, Lord. We know that blessings come from you and glory comes from you. The brilliance, the radiance, and then the wisdom, the insight, the discernment comes from God. And the thanksgiving, having a thankful heart. And then honor comes from God and power. God is all powerful. And then might, he's mighty. He's the El Shaddai, the Almighty. Oh, Lord, we love you for that. It's unto you, our God, our God. And not just for a day, but forever and ever. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, Hey, what are these things that which are arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? John says, hey, man, you know. He said unto him, sir, you know. He said unto me, we're going to come back to this verse, but let me keep going through. He said, you know. And he said, these are they which come out of the great tribulation. Oh. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I'm coming back to that. I want to keep going, but I'm coming back to that because now we're talking tribulation. And then there are some who say, well, what? There's no Christians here in the tribulation because the rapture comes and takes us out. So who are these if all the Christians are taken up in the rapture? Ah, okay. I can't wait to come back to it. Verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him, surrendered to him, committed to him, a slave to him day and night in his temple. And he that sit on the throne shall dwell among them. God is always with us. Verse 16. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them or shine or heat them, nor any heat. Verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall, well, that word feed in the Greek means shall shepherd them. Wow. So let's just pause at 17. For the Lamb which is in the middle of the throne, is the Lamb right now in the middle of everything that you do? Is Jesus the center of your joy? Is Jesus in the center of every decision that you make? It said because he's in the center, he can shepherd them. He can cover them. He can lead. He can guide. He can provide for them. Is Jesus in the middle of everything that you and I do? Well, we all have some work to do. We all have something to strive towards. Because if Jesus is not, then we got to ask our question, what are we serving and what are we worshiping if Jesus isn't in the center of everything that we're doing. Is it too cold yet?
Yes.
Now it's too cold. Okay. All right. We'll cut it off. Now when I see y'all falling asleep, we're going to cut it back on. All right? Just be aware of that. Family, you and I, we have to allow God to be in the middle of our life, the middle of our circumstances. We have to keep our life in godly perspective. I love this scripture. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall shepherd them and lead them unto living fountains of water. Remember, the life isn't in the water. The water is just H. Okay, we check. We have science class every now and then. That's chemistry, that's science. Thank you. The waters, as we looked up water in the Greek, the water was just H2O. The life comes from God. Remember that. The life comes from God. The Zoe comes from God. The water is just water, but God shall lead us into fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And so get a head start now. Allow God to wipe the tears from your eyes now. Stop worrying about things you should have given to God a long time ago. Stop stressing over stuff that you should have given to God a long time ago. And I always wonder when we get to heaven or we're crying. I guess it's a combination. We're crying tears of joy because we're there and we're worshiping God and it's just so beautiful. But then we also could be crying tears of sorrow because of who's not there. And then saying, you know what? I should have done so much more. I spent 3/4 of my life on a job that went nowhere where I should have been telling people about Jesus Christ who are not here. I struggle with that. Spend 3/4 of my life on a job that goes nowhere and means nothing. Remember, the only thing we can take to heaven with us is other people. All that other stuff is staying behind. So we're probably there crying, saying, man, I should have did so much more for God. God said, that's okay. God wipes our eyes. Say, look, they had their chance. Don't. It's all right. Let me wipe that away. They had a chance. I did minister to them. But we know, man, maybe I could have done so much more. Don't spend so much time on stuff that really doesn't matter. But if we don't believe this, then it's irrelevant. And if God is not enough, then this is irrelevant because I need something else. And by the way, I really don't think this is all true. From cover to cover, I think there's some leeway. And the word teaches that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he already told us these words are true and can be trusted. They're real and they can be trusted. For the Lamb of God, verse 17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall shepherd them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. God should wipe away all tears from their eyes. So let's go back up to verse 14. And he said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So we have the tribulation period when God raptures his people up. And after that comes the great tribulation. And can you imagine now? So when the tribulation comes, that's a time without the church. The church is gone. And you see what's going on now. They're trying to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, take him out of the Boy Scout Pledge, the Girl Scout Pledge, the Halls of Congress. We don't have We don't want to have anything to do with God. And you take out God, who is loved, all you have is hate. Now we're looking at a world where hate is taking over because you get rid of God. And the devil, that's his job. And so they still don't get it. But imagine when God does take his church out and rapture us up. You don't want to be here. Some people say, well, how are people coming to Christ after the tribulation? So you have those that talk about the pre-tribulation and the post-tribulation. Some say, well, God is always, when he judged the world, God's always gotten his people out. When the flood came with Noah, Noah preached for 120 years, and nobody wanted to come. So, but God got his people out. Noah, his three sons, Noah's wife, and their wives. So 8 people got saved in that day. Though only 8 said, hey, we believe in God. But God got his people out before the floods came in Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, if I can find what? We start with 50 people, then he went to 10. If I can find anybody that believes in God, would you hold it back? But God got Lot out, told him don't look back. His wife looked back, but God got his people out. Then fire and brimstone came down. So it shows God always gets his people out before his wrath comes down. In the book of Numbers, he's who's with me right here? Who's not? Over here. Okay? Ground opened up, swallowed them up. God's always got his people out. So for me, personally, as a pastor, I believe we'll be raptured up before the great tribulation comes. Because God's always gotten his people out. And so then who are these? These are the ones that get left behind. Because you're going to have people who are going to say, oh, man, dude, I thought I was saved already. Shucks, I go to church every Easter. I can't believe God left me. And then it's going to be a lot tougher. So I do believe that there will be folks, well, obviously, based on the word, there will be folks that are left. And realize that God is real, and despite whatever smokescreen they try and throw up for millions of people disappearing, they'll see through it. And then the Bible talks about you have to take the mark of the beast and all that kind of stuff, and that's more deeper into Revelation. But just know if you're talking to someone, you talk to some people who will say, well, it's post-tribulation. It's not a deal breaker. You know, if we are here, then we got to deal with it. You have our brothers and sisters over in Iraq, our Christian brothers and sisters. They are getting their heads cut off because they will not denounce Jesus Christ. They feel like they're right in the midst of Revelation right now in the Great Tribulation. When someone's walking you on the beach saying we're getting ready to cut your head off unless you deny Christ. Now I don't see how much more tribulation you can get. So they believe, I'm sure they believe we're right in the middle of it. They're reading this, saying, man, this is us right now. So either way, if we are here or we're not, we have to take a stand. Isn't that something? If we can't take a stand now in the little stuff. If we can't take a stand in the little stuff, how will we take a stand when it really matters? If you're not worshiping God daily now, you just don't cut on. It's not a switch that you flip on and off. It has to be who you are. If you're not serving God now, it has to be who you are. You can't just turn a switch on and off. I'm talking about living this thing. I'm talking walking this thing. I'm talking about sharing this thing with others. In the midst of all our struggles, in the midst of spiritual warfare, in the midst of everything we have to deal with, we still have to keep the lamb in the middle of everything that we do and allow God to shepherd us. Allow God to even wipe the tears from our eyes now. Put our life in biblical perspective. We start practicing it now. And it comes back to, do I believe this? And is God enough? And then the rest we will pick up on next week. Amen. If we would, just bow our heads just for a few minutes before we dismiss. And Lord, as you're speaking to us, Lord, as you're ministering to our hearts, God, let us come to grips. Let us examine our heart. What do we truly serve? What do we truly worship? And Lord, we ask if there's anything that's in us that's not like you, remove it far from us, Lord. Give us a heart to serve and to worship you. The only thing we can take to heaven with us is other people. Let us put you in the middle of our lives, in the center of our lives, and put our life in biblical perspective. Thank you for the challenge of your word. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to cut. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's supposed to ignite something in us to be better for you, Lord. So thank you for your word. We receive it, Lord. We want to do better. We don't want it to be business as usual. We don't want to be casual, private eye, secret Christians. We want to let our light shine. We want to be light. We want to be salt. And we want to be love. So we ask that you ignite a fire in us, Lord, that we share the gospel in love, that we take a stand, that we don't fight for anything unless it involves saving someone's soul. That part of us that does not dissolve upon death. Let us be about our Father's business. Let us love what you love and hate what you hate. Let us be purposeful and intentional to share the gospel of the good news with someone. Let us not spend most of our life on stuff that doesn't matter. We accept the challenge, Lord. Shepherd us, be in the middle of us. Wipe the tears away, Lord, in our tough times. Remind us how you're always there for us, how you love us, how you care for us, and how nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Lord, maybe there's someone here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ. It's my personal Lord and Savior. I've never asked Christ to come into my heart. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if God has rescued me. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And we already read in Revelation, God doesn't discriminate. Whosoever means whosoever, because some of everybody will be in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for that, that you don't discriminate. But if you're not saved this morning, God does want to rescue you from death, hell, sin, and the grave, and yourself. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I need to get it together. I've been worshiping other stuff and serving other stuff. I gotta get back to my first love, which is Jesus Christ. If you want to rededicate your life this morning to live for God, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't made it official to make South Bay Abundant Life Church my church home. From the worship to the word, it's just I feel the presence of God. I need to be somewhere where they're teaching the word of God and encouraging us to live for God. And for me to understand my intentional method and purpose in God. That's you and you're looking for a church home, elevate your hand. We'd love to be part of your family. We're not members, we're family. Part of God's family, and we're so grateful for that. Lord, we love you on today. We thank you on today, Lord. Thank you for challenging us, Lord. Thank you for encouraging our hearts. Thank you for wiping away our tears and letting us know it's going to be okay. Because you will never leave us or forsake us. You've always been there. And we bless you for that. Have your way in the lives of your people, Lord. Let us work for you. Let us be mindful. Let us serve and worship each and every day of our lives. Cover and keep us, Lord, until we meet again. And we thank you for the work that was done through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug, and you are dismissed. We have an announcement. Yes.
With the school giveaway, what we're going to do, we're going to do it next Sunday because it was overwhelming the amount of supplies and stuff that we received. And then last Sunday, the announcement was we're going to do it next Sunday. So there's still a few more people that still bring in, you know, things and stuff. So if anyone else that may want to put some more stuff in so that the kids have.
That's for the school supplies?
For the school supplies.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And then also pass out your food flyers. Come and get some food tomorrow. Be blessed. We'll be in the parking lot from 2 to 3. Bring someone with you.